The views and opinions expressed on Lifeguards Off Duty are those of its hosts and guests exclusively. They do not represent any entity, organization, or municipality.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Michael Kaczmar.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Sean.
And this is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar, the Jersey Shore number one lifeguard-themed video podcast.
Watch us on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook Live. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever streaming service you prefer.
If you would like to contact us, send an email to drkaczmar@icloud.com. Follow us on Instagram at lg.association.
All right, let's get started.
Let's start the show.
Let's do it.
We'll get there.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Kaczmar. Welcome to Lifeguards Off Duty. Today's date is March 15th, the year of our Lord, 2022.
There it is.
It's actually my birthday today.
We're really alienating the atheists with that.
Yeah, I don't care. That's tough. That's tough. They could, you know, listen, they should have a good sense of humor, right? So, and
I'm agnostic.
So should everybody.
So should everybody. So we want to welcome everyone today. We're live streaming right now on YouTube, Rumble. We're on Rumble now, so go to Rumble, and we're on Facebook Live. We have a podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And I think we're on Twitch and Twitter too. So look around for us. So today we have a full crew today of off-duty lifeguards. We have Sean. Say hello, Sean.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back to the studio, Sean.
Sean's been missing in action.
It's been quite some time.
He's studying.
Yeah.
But
I'm back.
Yeah, he's got that liberal, you know, he's been in that liberal college for a while, so we got to bring him back to reality.
Another YouTube strike, Kaczmar?
No. So we have Tyler here.
What's up, guys?
Tyler. So, Tyler, you want to just start to introduce our guest today? We have a guest today.
Yeah, and we have another Heights guard, part of our family over in Seaside Heights. How long have you been working?
Well, let's give it to him.
3 years.
He always called.
3 years. Mike Henneke, 3-year lifeguard. And you are joining the Navy, right, this summer?
Yeah.
We want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I've been in ROTC. All right, well,
let's introduce you and just say hello. Welcome to the show. And thank you for coming. We're so happy. And if you could just tell us, you know, about when you started on a beach patrol and how long you've been lifeguard with us, and then you could tell us all about the other
stuff. Summer was 2019. That was in between my freshman and sophomore year in college. I go to Fordham University in the Bronx. Been doing Navy ROTC since 2018. And I'm going to commission as an officer this May. And in August, I'll be going to BDOC, which is Basic Division Officer Course. It's 8 weeks. And then I'll go into 30 months at sea.
So you studied history at Fordham, right?
Yep.
How does that relate to, like, what you're doing in the military, if at all?
Probably not that much, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I just liked history.
Yeah. What do you have, like, a specific area of focus that you're studying, or just like general history?
Yeah, not right now. I like can't decide which area I want to focus on. I applied for a master's program that I'm going to do online over the next few years, and I kind of have to pick a concentration. I'm not sure what I want.
Are you leaning towards anything right now?
I like 20th century Europe, maybe.
Okay. I'm obsessed with, like, South American history and, like, the Mayans. And all. Have you read about, like, all the stuff they're finding in the jungles down there with LIDAR and all that?
Actually, no.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, they
were cannibals, man. They ate themselves.
No, they want you to think they were cannibals.
Apparently,
before the Spanish discovered, like, South America, there was like 20 million people living in the Amazon.
And
they're finding this out by, I'm pretty much just regurgitating Joe Rogan right now.
Did you get this from Graham Hancock?
Yeah. I actually read the book, though, so I feel like I'm allowed to.
So you're not a faker.
But no, they fly these planes over the jungle, and they find, like, these incredible cities that are just, like, covered by jungle. It's insane.
Yeah, a lot of that's, like, inaccessible.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, how do you even get there? You just have to, like, cut your way through.
I've heard the term LIDAR, but I don't really understand what it is. Light radar?
Neither do I.
I think it's radar that uses different light frequencies.
Yeah.
Besides radio waves.
They just, like, bounce it off the, and then they find it.
They can see depression. Sweet. They could, what they do is they could see depressions in the ground. So based on those depressions or in equality, they could then surmise that there might be something there. They actually do it in the ocean. That's how they could really tell how deep the ocean is. So there's actually the surface of the ocean will actually have differences of heights depending on what's below it. And so they could map the top of the ocean and really get a really good idea what's below. It's
so
pretty interesting technology.
The valleys of the water
level? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It relates up. But let's get to Mike though. I'm interesting. So Mike, you started on the beach. Now, before you started on the beach, did you want to go into the military, or the beach pushed you towards that? Or like, how did that?
I wanted to do that since I was like 10.
Okay. Is your family? You have a family history of being? No family history. So what? Like, how did you just? I mean, it's a great. I mean, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. But like, what? Why since 10? Like, how? Movies? Like, what made you think that you wanted to go into the military?
Definitely too many movies.
Too many movies.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
So, something's up with his mic.
Yeah, no, I really can't hear him either.
Who's Mike?
Henneke.
Mike's Mike.
Yeah, he's got to talk a little bit louder. Let me see.
It's not picking him up.
Make a little noise.
Talk, Mike. Good.
Hello? No, check. Nothing.
Hang on. Talk again.
Is it plugged in?
Let me
check.
Uh-oh.
Let's
see.
Uh-oh.
Well, why don't you keep talking? So, let me check. We can't stop right now. Let me see. Is it all plugged in? Something wrong with the mic. Move it around a little bit.
I can see the mic plug.
Hang
right
on.
There.
Oh, no, it's no.
That's one plug, no?
No.
Guys, technical difficulties.
Let's do it again, Mike. Just talk. Say hello.
Mic check.
Do it again.
Mic check.
There you go.
Now do it again.
Mic check.
Let me do one other thing. Yeah, talk again.
Mic check.
Sounds good there, no? Talk again. Just talk into your mic.
Hello?
You talk.
It doesn't sound anything like ours.
No. No, I don't know what's... Yeah. Well, we have technical difficulty here. Try it again.
I'm looking at a mic plug right now.
No, that's different.
That that's for this one over here.
That has nothing to do
with it. We might have to switch him to this mic.
There's a problem with that mic.
Can you just pull that towards him right now?
Yeah. Why don't you just share... No, it's going to take a while. Listen, we're going to have to...
End the show?
No, not end the show. Let me just see something here. So just try one more time, Mike.
Mic check.
You know what it is? Go adjust his thing. Make sure it's not unplugged.
Here.
It's probably not. Go do it, Sean. We have a little difficulty, everyone. Just see if his mic is. Just unplug it and plug it back in.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We're going to figure this out. Check.
Hello.
There you go.
There it is.
You know, somebody probably talk now.
Hello?
Yeah, there you go. Talk
one. Hey. So, Mike.
Yeah, sorry about that. So
why 20th century Europe? What's most interesting to you about that?
Took a class on it 2 semesters ago. I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Okay.
So is that like, that's World War I, World War II stuff?
Yeah.
Does that scare you about like anything that's happening right now?
I don't know. I'm kind of excited.
Really? You're excited?
We're living through history.
We are living through history.
Do you think it's important? Like, one of my history teachers in high school, he told me that, I think it was during the Vietnam War, instead of coming into class and then, like, reading the book every day, what they would do was they would just watch the news. From the perspective of someone who studies history, how important do you think it is for, like, young people, well, everyone for that matter, to really pay attention to what's been happening in the world?
Oh, really important.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't learn from history, we're going to kill each other.
Right?
Yeah.
They say history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. I think I heard that quote.
No, if you forget history, it'll repeat itself. Something of that nature.
You know what Hegel said about that?
No.
We learn from history that we do not learn from history.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you another one. If you want to give quotes, I'll quote Einstein. Einstein said, I don't know how World War III is going to be fought, but World War IV is going to be fought with sticks and stones. Listen, if you want to get on this topic, I want to, because, you know, this is a guy, you guys are all young. So let me hit this up to you, because I lived through the Vietnam War. I had a draft card. It just ended They just stopped drafting when I just turned 18. But you still got to have a draft card. In fact, the United States, you could legally burn the flag, but you can't burn your draft card. So all three of you guys, what do you think about it? You know, so you're, like for you, you're going to the military. What do you think that if we did have a big war, how do you think most of the Americans would deal with it if they were getting, if they got drafted? And would they go or not? Because you don't have a choice. Either you go to jail or you get shot. So, I mean, it's a touchy thing. You got to be careful because you're in the military. You don't want to say anything, you know.
I'm not going.
But my point is that from your perspective, like you're excited about it because it's history. But what about the potential for the conflict?
You know, my uncle dodged the draft in Vietnam by becoming a priest.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't see Sean. I can't see Tyler becoming a priest.
I might want to start looking into that.
You could be a Buddhist monk.
You know, I was an altar boy.
Okay, there you go.
I stopped because I started getting really uncomfortable changing my robes with the priest around.
My uncle's got a good joke. He was an altar boy for a while, and he said, you hear all this stuff that happened to them, but, like, nothing ever happened to him. He did it for, like, 10 years. He's like, what was so ugly about me? I never got hit on by a priest.
Oh, man, that's dark.
I'm going to stick up for the Catholic Church because I went to a Catholic school, and my Monsignor smoked cigars, drank way too much, and, like, right into my senior year, so I was in the ninth grade, he took off with one of the divorcee, you know, one of the parishioner wives.
Ooh, yeah. Divorcees.
He went, you know, so, but just get, you know, you're sort of beach patrol.
Wait. Okay. How is that standing up for the Catholic Church?
Well, there was no pedophile. Pedophiles.
That makes the Catholic Church look so bad. He went against every Catholic value.
No, he didn't. He quit. No,
thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife.
Listen, no longer the wife. Listen, he wasn't. It's a lesser of two evils. He wasn't diddling little boys, okay? He was smoking cigars, drinking alcohol, and screwing around with women. All right, so I'm sorry. That was, you know, lesser of two evils. I don't know. You take your pick.
Pull. It's either an old boys club or a young boys club.
So I want to, with the beach patrol, and so you worked there. Did you, you know, now you're in when you're going to start basic training soon, or you've been in?
I've done basic training.
So did the beach patrol help you with that at all, or the discipline, or like did you, you know, how did the discipline in the military? I'm trying to give you, you're still just starting, but how does the military discipline and the beach patrol discipline jive? I mean, did you see any correlation there? Because you used to, again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it definitely helped. Like, for example, the grooming standards that we have the beach patrol.
Yeah.
It's basically the same in the Navy, you know, no beard, short hair. You're allowed to have a mustache, though, in the Navy, which you're not allowed to do on the beach patrol. So what's up with that?
We're working on changing. Tomasello has been working on changing that.
Yeah, we have to allow. We allow that.
With the mullet, you can't not let the guy have a mustache.
No. He came in, he had a mullet and a mustache, and they told him, shave the mustache off. And they look 900 times worse without a mustache and a mullet. I'm like, you either got to make him cut the mullet off or put a mustache. I, you know, it's funny. I have, because I'm in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and I had to go through a lot of training just recently. And they showed a bunch of pictures. We're talking about discrimination and bias and, you know, prejudice and all this. And they showed who could be in the auxiliary. The auxiliary is a little bit different than, you know, Europe. Area because physically you could let anybody in the auxiliary. But what was interesting, what one thing will stop you from getting in the military and definitely the Coast Guard Auxiliary is facial tattoos. Mm. So I think very sure it's the Navy. So you could have tattoos, but they can't be on your neck or your face. I don't know what else you can't have. You can't have a beard, you know. But
the tattoo regulations used to be a lot more restrictive, but recently the Navy changed the rules. Like, you could have your hands done now, and they allow one small tattoo on the neck. Only thing off limits now is scalp and face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know I don't. Obviously, tattoos didn't originate in the Navy, but I know that.
It's definitely a part of the culture.
And those classic style, like, sailor tattoos started in the Navy, correct?
Yeah.
Those are
the anchors.
Yeah, the anchors, the pinup girls, that was all.
All right, let's put Mike on the spot.
The Ed Hardy style.
Mike, why back in the day, I look at, you know, in all the old movies, like they have the one where they come to New York City and it's Frank Sinatra and a couple other guys, they're on leave.
On the town? I saw that.
Yeah, on the town. Yeah. So why bell bottoms? Why did the Navy men wear bell-bottom pants. You know what I mean by bell-bottom?
Yeah, they still wear them.
Yeah, so why? What's the deal with that?
Because they're a pain in the ass to iron and look good, so it's like, I don't know.
No.
They just want to make your life difficult.
What about Sean? Why do they wear bell-bottoms? Any idea?
I have no idea. Think about it.
It's functional. Functional. Yeah.
Go high up?
Well, they don't wear flip-flops. What do you think, Tyler?
So you can take them off real easy.
Yeah. And not, you know,
same reason.
Not in a bedroom. I mean, it's like, so if you fall over, you get them off really a lot easier if you have boots on and stuff.
Well, that's part of your training, right? Is the tie the pants and flip.
Oh, dude, I hate that so much.
Right?
explain
how that works.
What is it? Your pants on the working uniform can turn into a flotation device. If you like.
How does that work? Because they're not waterproof, are they?
Tie them on the bottom and like. Go like this, so you get like air and water in them, and it like put them over. It just works.
Yeah. Huh. So that was the bell bottom deal. Yeah. The military. My two uncles were in the Navy, and but I don't know why they went to Navy, but they got malaria and they got they were on destroyers or they got blown up with. They didn't die, but they got a lot of shrapnel. My uncle had a lot of shrapnel. I guess there was kamikaze planes. So you're in the military. What.
You know what boat you want to go to?
What boat? Yeah, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in the military? Like specifically, you talk about you want to study history, but in the military, what do you want to do?
Well, I've already selected. So there are a few different communities you go into as an officer. There's surface, which is on a ship, subs, planes, or spec war. So I selected into surface. So I'm going to be a division officer for my first tour on a ship. We had ship selection recently, which the way they do that is they rank you by GPA from first to worst. And then, like, the first person, like, picks a ship and, you know, you get whatever's left by the time it gets to you. There was, like, four pages of people on that list. I was, like, all the way on the fourth page.
Oh,
my GPA is not so good. But I got the ship I wanted. I got a LSD-50 out of Norfolk, the USS Carter Hall. It's an amphib, so it's a landing ship, carries Marines.
A landing ship, like,
do you know
like
where
that
it would
goes
be?
Right up to the beach? Is that what that means?
It like carries the boats that go up to the beach.
Okay, I got you.
Do you know where that would be? Like what sea or ocean you would be in?
Mostly just East Coast USA.
Okay.
That could change.
Deploy to Europe possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what would be, if you had your pick of the litter, let's say, what would you, or maybe in the future, what would you want to work to as a goal? Do you want to be a commander on a ship, a captain? Do you want to run your, officer, you know, there's intelligence, there's, I don't know, radar, that would be surveillance. Like,
LIDAR.
Where on that level would you want to go?
Oh, I'm planning the classic five and dive. I'm obligated for 5 years and I'm getting out.
Oh, okay.
And will they be paying for your master's as well?
Yeah.
So you want to use this as a stepping stone to get your education?
Yeah.
That's smart. That's
real
smart.
You mentioned wanting to teach, right?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah, like college or high school level.
Whatever.
College seems better. You get a little more freedom, like with the curriculum. You know, you can kind of design your own course.
Now, what a nightmare would be if we go to war and then they grab all us old fucks like me and they put us on a ship and all of a sudden...
And then Henneke's bossing you around.
Oh, well, it's...
I wanted to ask you, Mike, what is the mood... Like amongst, like your peers, when it comes to what's going on in Europe right now.
I don't know. There's some psychopaths who like want to go spec war, and they're so excited they just want to shoot people.
Does it feel to you guys like we're like teetering on the edge of something very serious, or is it like does it feel under control? Like
from my perspective, it doesn't look like we're gonna get involved.
Okay,
I mean.
Uh-huh.
If we do, the safest place to be in war is on a Navy ship.
Why is that?
Because it has so many protective countermeasures. Like, there's nothing that can hit you.
Okay. Do you think that when it comes to actual conflict, the Navy still plays a super... Or, like, these boats specifically, like, are still going to play an important part, or is that...
I'd say the most important part, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Is that because you guys are carrying around the aircraft? Like, what about the Navy is so critical to the military?
All right, so we don't have forward air bases in any of these countries anymore, so the only way to deploy aircraft would be from a carrier or an LHD or LHA.
Okay.
It's they're also platforms for cruise missiles, ballistic missiles from subs, nuclear weapons that you could get close enough and fire from there. Also, landing operations, Marines, amphibious is the most effective way to get a landing force anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Ergo, that's why Chinese are delegating a lot of their resources to building an arsenal to knock out aircraft carriers.
I also imagine that they'd be effective in terms of like a blockade situation.
Right? For
economic pressure.
Yeah,
on
freedom of trade, freedom of navigation, and restricting the enemy trade and navigation. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one thing about this because I didn't know we were going to talk about military stuff, but you know, I've been doing a ton of reading, and what I see now as you're bringing this up is, you know, that you're talking about kinetic war, and kinetic war is the ships, the planes, you know, the boots on the ground. But the way our technology is, there is a tremendous amount of the war, and the war going on right now. I mean, you talk about war. We Russia has a kinetic war with Ukraine, but we're in a war. We're in a cyber war. We're in a information war. We're in a financial war. Right now, we have sanctions on Russia to basically cripple their ruble. I mean, completely destroy it. That's war. That's one way you go after people. They say that China and Russia have unbelievable amount of cyber technology. You could knock out the internet. You could close a power plant. You could do a million things. So I think that, you know, just, I don't want to get into this heavy conversation. It's supposed to be live card stuff. And this is more for my other show. But, you know, you guys understand that just throw it out there. This is a multi-layered thing that you're going into. And it may be way at the end that the kinetic stuff is going to go. And of course, then you have the nuclear stuff, which may not ever come about. I mean, this world could be brought down to its knees.
Nuclear never happens.
Mutually assured destruction.
But let me ask you this, Sean and Tyler. What's worse? You know, nuclear weapons. Because you know what's bad about nuclear weapons? It destroys buildings and everything, and there's nothing left, and there's radiation. What about if they unleash, you know, more viruses, or they get chemical warfare? I mean, we're all dead just the same.
You know? What do you mean by more viruses?
Well, let's just say they're more. Say they do have viruses. Listen, I'm not saying this thing
that,
was let
that
out.
That implies that I don't want to get already been.
Well, let's
released.
Just say that they have.
No, there's just more viruses out there.
Well, you could listen. There's biochemical weapons. There's bioweapons.
Yeah.
And my point is that just we were going down this thing about kinetic, and I think it's what he says is very, very important. You got to have a really, really robust military. But from the other standpoint, I just can't let you guys go on. And I don't want to sound like we don't.
Yeah, no, kinetic
there's
warfare.
A lot of
before
stuff
it was
going
guns,
on.
It was swords. Henneke used to fence. How was fencing, Henneke?
Nice transition.
For years.
What?
I've been retired for years.
Yeah, but I still think it's a really cool sport. But,
dude, first of all, because I know you fence at like a really high level, right?
Yeah, I was all right.
Dude, we're talking about on the stand one day, and he's just like, eh, whatever. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I traveled. Like, where's the farthest you traveled?
Russia.
Yeah.
You went to Russia for fencing.
Which, it doesn't sound very good now, but back then.
No, it sounds cooler now.
Are you a Russian plane?
What part of Russia did you go to, Mike?
Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Oh, wow.
It's funny. My coach was actually Ukrainian. He's probably pretty wound up about this whole thing. I haven't talked to him.
Was he President Zelensky?
Nah.
What kind of Ukraine was it? Because there's two sections in Ukraine that are heavy-duty Russian loyalists, you know.
No, he is not a Russian loyalist. So he got out of there when it was still like the Soviet Union.
Oh, okay.
It's old as hell.
Wait, yeah. So you traveled across countries for fencing. So you were pretty elite. Like, did you get any medals, any like accolades?
I mean, I got a few medals. I wouldn't say I was like that elite. I was elite for like the junior level.
Okay. But like, I don't understand anything about fencing. Like, I know you want to jab the other guy with the sword.
Yeah.
What else goes into that? Like, parrying is a big part of it. Like,
yeah,
I'm asking about the sport. So like, it's like a long strip of carpet or something.
I don't know if I could like explain the rules without like a visual example. Like,
show it on the dig it up.
Like, there's a thing called priority, which is like, if you both hit each other at the same time, whoever has priority gets the point.
What is priority? Like, so you're stepping forward.
Yeah, that's one way.
There's little, these things have like little round things on a thing. You can't stab anybody, right?
Yeah.
Would that be something, man? Imagine doing that.
You guys ever see I Love You, Man?
Yeah.
No.
There's a couple good fencing scenes in that movie.
Can you pull up some fencing scenes?
I'll pull up the fencing scene from I Love You, Man.
Wait, don't put that up yet. Just keep it on the camera. Wait until he gets it. So I want to get back to, so you had the idea of going into the military, not so much because you wanted to go into the military. You say you want to go into the military, but then you're saying you're only going 5 years. So my point is that you're not doing 25 years. Like my sister did 25 years. So she did a career. So you want to use it. You want to go into it. You want to, you know, help your country, obviously, but you want to get out in about 5 years. So here's some fencing. All right,
you want to do a breakdown on this for us? Can you unmute, please?
Yeah.
No, you got to go down here on the bottom. Unmute down here.
Let me rewind it.
Yeah.
Ready?
This is actually not.
So what is this? Is this like an actual move he did? No. Is that illegal because he stepped off the white?
Yeah, that is illegal.
Okay. So what are these black bars that they're kind of bordered by on the floor?
That's like the starting lines.
Okay. Now, is there any rules about getting pushed beyond those lines?
If you go off the very back of the strip with both feet, it's a point for the other guy.
Okay.
Both feet. So only
if you step off the side, you restart at 1 meter back.
Okay. And is there any type of like kill shot? Like if I get you in the face, do I automatically win?
No, everything's 1 point.
Everything's 1 point. Okay.
What's the goal, like 25, 12?
So in like the elimination bracket, it's like 15. When you're starting out in like pools, it's like 5.
Hmm. Yeah, pretty interesting. So how long you did that? How long did you do that for?
I started when I was like 13.
How'd you get into that? Your parents pushed you into that? Like what was the genesis of that?
More G.I. Joe movies? Kind of.
No.
People get into baseball, basketball, and piano. You know, I mean, fencing. How do you drift into that? Was there anybody in the family? Like,
the coach at CBA like sold it pretty well.
That's where you went to high school.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe that's what it was.
Is that the only sport you really played?
I did a few things. I was a runner for a few years. I did rowing. Yeah, that's it.
I know. You rode crew, right?
Yeah.
I know you do like some powerlifting too, right?
I mean, that's just me now.
Okay. Getting juiced up.
Yeah.
Let me finish with my thing, though. So you're going to go 5 years, because a lot of people who listen to this, that's a great thing to do. I mean, a lot of people do that. I think probably vast majority, they get in, they learn a lot if they can, and then you know you might be doing it on the side, learning your history, and you're going to go places for sure, see different things, and then you're going to get out. You'll be able to get benefits. Now, when you get out, after you do 5 years, are you obligated to be in the reserves?
Yeah.
So how long do you have? So you're automatically in the reserves?
Yeah.
Even though you sign up for 5 years?
You know, everybody's got to be in the reserves for at least some time after they get out.
Really?
Yeah.
How long? What's the minimum?
I'm not sure.
And then when you're in the reserves, if there's a war or something, they could just call you up.
Yeah, if something happens and they could call you up.
Okay, so there's an undetermined time. Then after that, you're out. Then you're definitely retired.
Yeah,
and then you could go back voluntarily. I don't know what the age is.
But I know a retiree who's in the, I don't want to say any too much, but like in the army from a neighboring beach, who now he's a retiree, but he just got sent to Germany from the U.S. government. Like contacted him and like
because he was in reserves, or they asked him to do it.
I think they asked him to do it. I think it was a really sweet deal and. I think they like he had some type of history or past experience that like put him like they want him there near what's happening with the world right now.
Well, that's what my sister does. My sister's retired 25 years, but she just did a 6-month stint in Guantanamo Bay as a contractor for the Navy, actually, and then she's in Hawaii right now doing the same thing. So she's you could do that after you're done. She did the 25 years and now she's doing that. So that's your plan then to go and then get out and then get into teaching.
Yeah.
That's a great plan. That's a great thing.
What was, when you were considering joining the Navy, what was the most attractive aspect of it?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Travel, being part of a team.
You could get that anywhere, though.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the difference between the Navy and the Army?
Why did he pick the Navy?
Yeah.
I just like the ocean, man.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a good answer.
You don't have to. You know, it's
spoken
funny.
Like a true waterman, dude. Yeah. You are so because like you're the type of dude that on your break will swim like 3 buoys by yourself.
Okay, not 3.
I will not swim a buoy without a buddy, and unless I've been told to. I'll swim parallel to shore all day. But
can I make a comment about why my uncles? I asked them why they went into the Navy, because my father went into the Army. A lot of people did many things. A lot of people wanted to go into Marines. You know, people wanted to fly. My uncle, I remember my uncle told me he went into the Navy because he figured that he'll be on a ship. You get 3 square meals a day. You know, you got a shower. You're sleeping in a bed. You know, you're not in a ditch walking in the green, you know, in the Army.
You got a nice pair of bell bottoms.
Yeah, so I think maybe they thought they would be safer in the Navy, but you know, yeah. I don't know. Not when you're on a, you know, they got banged up. Those destroyers really got banged up.
Yeah, let me just say, I could never live in a landlocked state. I don't know how people do it,
dude. That, like, I think about that. I think about like living in the mountains or living like out in the plains somewhere. I get claustrophobic at the thought of it.
Yeah, I couldn't.
That's the thing. Like, in the Army, they could, like, put you in a base in, like, the middle of Oklahoma somewhere. Ooh. Like, in the Navy.
Oh, fuck that noise.
I know I'll never be landlocked.
So, let's go back to the lifeguarding stuff. I want to ask you a question, because we always ask people. I know we don't have a lot of time today, because we're...
Well, you guys can... Okay. I got to get out of here in, like, 10 minutes.
Okay.
You guys should keep going.
I want to ask you... we always ask our guests who are lifeguarding here, what is one of the memorable rescues or events on the beach? You know, it doesn't have, you know, nothing bad. I mean, something that you, the years that you worked there, that you remember, that was really
cool, fun, scary.
You know, a big rescue, or you see something on the beach, and whatever, some kind of event. Can you remember anything that was?
There was one where I was on Kearney, and that was the end stand because of the way we had it set up, and Johnny DeVoe had to go on the quad full speed to, like, bring a defib to, like, some girl down by Herring.
Was she OD'd? Did she OD?
No, she was, like, 11 years old. Mm. But she had, like, a history of, like, heart events or something.
Yeah, I heard about that one. I heard about that. Yeah. So that was kind of shaky.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. How many years did you work now? You started in...
I did 3 summers.
So...
Did you go with Johnny D, or did you just... Like, the radio chatter was a lot...
No, I was still on the stand. He went down there, and then he comes ripping past me, and he's like, yo, call for a defib. And I was like, what the fuck?
That is very Johnny DeVoe.
Yo, dude, I need a defib.
Yeah, like a decaf coffee.
He'll go, Herring to North End.
I got a little girl.
So what about the workouts, Mike? You know, swimming to the buoys and everything, and you really enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, that's like, great.
What at a, I don't know if you do the board, out of the board, swimming and rowing. What do you like the best?
You like the boat.
You like the boat.
Boat is nice.
Yeah,
I think I like the board the best though.
I like the board too.
Yeah, we're gonna try to get more yellow boards.
I like surfing the loose can. That's my favorite. Mm. Like a boogie board.
So, are you going to be back this summer, or what's the story?
I don't think so, because they're making me report into the Naval Support Center. They have it, like, SUNY Maritime in the Bronx. They make me, like, report in every day until I leave.
What?
Yeah.
So, tell us what's going on now. So, you have to drive up every day.
Or I'm just going to live in New York for the time.
And how long before you go?
Then, in August, I'll leave.
Now, they have housing for you in the Bronx? There's a military facility? I
mean, they give me money to pay for it myself, but I got to find it myself.
Oh, okay. And then you check in every day, and then you can do whatever you want
to
do?
I mean, they'll have, like, some work I need to do, but I'll be out after, like, a few hours. But, yeah, once, like, you commission your active duty, so once you're active duty, you have to be, like, doing something for them all the time. You can't just, like, do whatever you want like I do now, because technically right now I'm reserve. That's what ROTC is. It's reserve.
Until you graduate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you're active duty, there's, like, a radius of beyond which you can't go. Like, say it's 50 miles. Like, you can't leave that 50-mile radius unless you have express permission or whatever.
That sounds like house arrest.
Yeah, they basically own you.
So now when you get commissioned, that's when you go hit your ship. When do you get to go on your ship?
In, like, the fall, probably.
Okay.
I want to ask you about ROTC. In what ways, this is like a two-parter, in what ways did the ROTC program at Fordham prepare you for your deployment? And also, in what ways does a college ROTC program differ from like what you'll see in a high school?
In a high school? Mm. In high school, don't you just do like do drill practice and stuff?
Yeah, and did you? So you didn't do it in high school?
Not really.
Okay, it seems to me because I didn't do it either. But it seems in high school to be more like a club.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
definitely. College, I imagine it's taken a bit more seriously.
Yeah, you're like under contract to like do certain things. Yeah,
and you can't be in ROTC unless you've signed that 5-year contract.
No, you can, but they'll make you sign it eventually. You can start out with no contract,
okay,
but you have to get one eventually.
Okay.
Do you have to like adhere to fitness standards?
Yeah, twice a semester you take a fitness test. You can't fail more than 2 in 1 year; it'll kick you.
Are they tough?
Yeah, what's
or
the test?
Do you think that?
It's all right. It's plank, running 1.5 miles, and push-ups. It used to be sit-ups instead of a plank, but they changed that last year. Like if you work out a few times a week, you'd be able to do it. It's not
how fast you have to run a mile and a half. Is there a timed?
Absolute minimum would be 12 minutes. I could do it in like 7:50.
And how many push-ups or sit-ups you have to do?
I think the minimum for men is around 50 somewhere. I could get like 70, 80.
I mean, I could pass the test. I just want to let you know.
Yeah,
yeah, no, it's not hard. There's people with desk jobs in the
I mean, they're just trying to like
okay. All right. All
sift
right.
through the people who are like really out of shape, basically.
Yeah.
So I imagine because you train so hard in the summer, you're kind of way above the average definitely. When it comes to these fitness tests.
And running on that soft sand is different, man.
Got to stay on your toes.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. That's the funniest thing about when the rookies come in is they don't understand how to run in the soft sand.
Or their calves. They always complain about their calves.
It's just so funny to watch them try to like flat-footed run through the sand. Got to stay on your toes. Get those knees up too.
I think you're always supposed to run on your toes. Like even if you're not on the beach, just in general, you should always run on your toes. It's better for your knees.
What on not on a boardwalk.
According to the Joe Rogan experience, that's how we're designed.
Yeah, the knees over toes.
No, you can't. Hey, listen. I tell you what. For my show, yes, I want everybody to run on their toes because they'll be in my office with brutal, you know, all kinds of messed up foot.
So the argument against that is if someone starts doing it tomorrow after like 30 years of life not running on their toes, yeah, you're probably going to end up needing or getting hurting yourself.
It's not the normal way.
Yeah, but like, you know how like people bend down the wrong, like learn to bend down the wrong way throughout their life or like.
Yeah, it's not the wrong way.
Yeah.
Heel toe is the normal gait. I mean, unless you're a kangaroo or something.
This guy's a product of the medical.
Yeah, I'm a doctor. I'm a foot and ankle surgeon.
You're gonna argue with the foot and ankle doctor that people are walking wrong.
I want to get back to Mike with the requirements. You know, the physical therapy. I mean, physical attributes that you have to have. What about your eyes? Is there a certain level of eye correction you can or cannot have? Because years ago, you couldn't even work on our beach. You know, a lot of beaches, if you didn't have 20/20 vision, but what's the story with the military? Because
I'm not sure exactly what they'll let you get away with. Because when I got tested for, I had 20 vision, so I was fine.
20/20, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they test you for like everything. I had to go to like so many different doctors to get medically cleared. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I know Faye, our buddy Faye, he's been on the show. He worked for 7 years on the beach. You know Faye, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was trying to join the Marines, and he couldn't because he had torn his ACL.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty serious.
Yeah. They were won't take you. I think they're even, aren't they even stricter on that stuff with pilots?
With eyes, they are.
For sure.
You have to be, I think what it is with your eyes, you have to have a, when you have poor eyesight, you have to, you could be corrected, and the correction can't be too great. In other words, if you just need a little bit of help, then it's okay. But nowadays, if you really want to be a pilot, I guess you could go get the surgery done.
Yeah.
And you could probably get pretty close to where you need to be without any kind of correction. But I was just wondering for you guys, you know. So physically, you had to take all kinds of tests and your eyes and everything, so you need to be in really good shape.
This doesn't really affect you, Henneke, but I know there's like a weight standard where for like per height and weight, like for being on a boat,
there's a height and weight standard where if you're too heavy for your height, then there'll be a problem.
They told my dad he was too fat to join the Coast Guard.
For my height, 5'10", the max is 192. But the thing is, if you're 5'10". Over.
Yeah. What if you're like a muscly 192?
Yeah. Though? So if you're over, what they do is they give you a body fat percentage test.
Mm.
And if you're under the maximum body fat percentage, you're fine. The maximum body fat percentage for men is like 20 and like 24, 26 for females.
Yeah.
So if you're like just jacked, then nice, you get away with it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
Did they have to measure your body fat percentage yet?
No, I've nowhere near 192. The heaviest I've ever been is like 185. Right now, I'm like 175.
Okay.
Yeah, jeez. You're not bad.
So you need to get on that steroids.
I haven't weighed 175 since I was like 14. All right, I got to go.
All right, take care.
Henneke.
Let me have my iPad.
Why don't you show everyone your tattoo real quick?
Yeah, this was on our page. Hey,
on. Put it up closer to the camera. Oh, yeah. That's my drawing, everybody.
Wow.
And I'm going to get that too.
Stay alive.
Oh, I didn't even see the tear. Is the tear on the original drawing?
It's not a tear. It's an anchor.
Oh, yeah. Bro.
But is it on the original one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah.
That's sick.
Apparently, you were telling me the tattoo artist was shitting on it?
Yeah.
he said...
He said it wasn't anatomically correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting that very soon. On that note, guys stay out and stay alive. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. We'll take care. Take care. Goodbye. Thank you for being
take
here.
Take care.
Tyler. We're going to keep going a little bit here. I got some more questions for Mike. I got a... Tyler,
it's a cash where he wants it.
You want this?
Just give it over here. Thanks a lot. Thank
and
you.
I was so.
So, Sean, Mike, I'm really interested in. I want to talk a little bit about the lifeguarding and then about your Navy. I mean, I'm so excited for you that you're going to be going into the military, and I think you're going to learn so much. And I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's a great thing that people go into the military. Like I said, my family all were in the military. My sister learned a lot. My son-in-law did 4 years in the Navy, and he was on a aircraft carrier. And I think it changes your perspective in your life. It gives you a lot more, what's the word I want to use?
Worldliness?
Perspective. Worldliness, yeah. And I think it's an important thing. And a lot of countries, they recommend that. So I wanted to ask you, in this country, do you think it would be a good idea force people that you come out, when you come out of high school, you got to do 2 years in the military?
I don't
think so. Non-combat, but go ahead.
Because like in Russia, they have minimum 2 year conscription for every man once he turns 18, right?
Right.
And right now we're seeing like in Ukraine, they like don't want to be there. They don't know what they're doing. They're not very effective.
Well, they got that in Israel, and I wouldn't say that about the Israeli army either.
That's true.
I
mean,
they're... like a lot smaller, tighter knit though. Russia's there's a lot of people in Russia.
Yeah, good answer, Henneke.
I'm just asking. I mean, because
right now, like we incentivize people to join the military with benefits, like the GI Bill, get pays for your college, and all those benefits like that. I think if you force everybody, then you can't offer benefits to people who join the military anymore.
Yeah, you don't need to. That you have to. So what's the benefits? Like some people are listening right now. What's the benefits of going into the military from your perspective? Like financially,
college paid for. You get master's paid for. You could get your kids' college paid for if you don't use your GI Bill. You could use it on one of your kids.
So how do you get paid for college while you're in the military afterwards?
So if you enlist, you give a minimum of, I think, 2 years and then afterwards, or you could do it while you're still in. For me, I did my college done before I go in through ROTC.
Now, when you're in ROTC, they pick up the whole bill for the college, room, board, the whole thing?
And books too.
So everything. So you didn't have to spend one penny?
No.
Now, so you did 4 years and you got a degree in history?
Yeah.
And now, from a good school, obviously, and now you got to give them how many years? What was the contract? Five?
Five, yeah.
And then after that, you don't know, you know, you're in the reserves, but maybe, I don't know, I think maybe it's 3 years or something.
Yeah, something
it's probably
like
not
that.
Active reserve, you know. So that was the deal. That's pretty damn good. Now, on top of that, so if you didn't go, can you go into officer level without a college degree?
You have to have a college degree to be an officer.
Okay. So let's just say I did my college. I did 4 years, and I've been working, say, for 2 years, and now I want to go into the Navy.
So you can apply to OCS, which is Officer Candidate School. It's 12 weeks long.
Right.
After that, you become an officer.
Well, let's just say I have $100,000 worth of student loans. Would they pay retroactively for my college? Well, you don't know.
I think they do.
I think they would, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But the real thing is, benefits of the military is girls love a man in uniform.
That's another one. Well, that, you know that, but that, you know, I like to listen. When you get to my age, that doesn't matter anymore. It's more of the money. But that's a great opportunity. That's really amazing that they paid for the 4 years of college. I kind of remember that when I got out of my schooling, they had a thing where they would retroactively pay for your, that's what I was asking if they still had it. So I came out of medical school. I had $80,000 in 1989. That's a lot of money. And they had these bills coming out, or these things where you could join the military, and I was going to join the Coast Guard. And same kind of thing. I thought I'd stay around here. I could work as a doctor, and I could pay off my loan. The only thing is that they told me if you do have a war, you could be gone. And a lot of people don't realize. Well, right now the Coast Guard is under the Homeland Security, but if war breaks out, it goes underneath the Navy.
Yeah.
But back then it was I think under the Navy. So, you know, in Vietnam and even Afghanistan, they're all around. You would go to foreign lands. So I didn't go into it. And it was funny because that was, when was Desert Storm?
92.
Yeah. 2 years, I would have been gone.
You would have went to Desert Storm.
I would have been there. Good chance they would have taken me. And I'll tell you another story about that. And during the Vietnam War, okay, I didn't get drafted. I just missed it. I turned 18, and the war was just weaning down, but they stopped drafting. And but I know there's some doctors who were in medical school, and when you get out of medical school, if you don't do a residency, you know, they could, well, you get drafted right after you get out of medical school, and they gave you the option. You could get a deferment. And if you got drafted, say you got drafted.
What's a deferment?
Well, deferment would be you don't have to go. So let's just say you got out of medical school and you got a draft card. Okay, now you were planning on doing your residency. The medical school was still school. But after you did the 4 years, so you did 4 years of college, 4 years of med school. Now follow me on this one because this is interesting. And I know this happened to people. Now you graduate from medical school, you get drafted. The Vietnam War was going on. So you had an option. Go into the military. Now you're going to be a doctor, but you didn't do a residency, so you're going to be general. You're doing general stuff, but you go, or you defer it, which means you don't get out of it, but they defer it and you do a residency. Now, if you didn't do a 5-year residency, the odds are the war will be over by then. So you figure, okay, I'll do that. A lot of doctors did that. They did their residency. Well, Vietnam was over, but they deferred it. Now, that was in 72? What years was that? Let me just think now. 76, right around there, 75, right? So to 90. So that's 15 years, right? 75 to 85, right? About 15. You've been practicing 15 years. You think you're home free. Now Desert Storm breaks up. I know an orthopedic surgeon on staff at one of my hospitals. They took him. He was in a big group. They knocked on the door and said, hey, you're going. He's like, you kidding me? He tried to get lawyers. He tried to get out of it. He goes, I have a family. I got a big practice. My group, sorry.
So right over. Is he the prisoner getting enlisted for him?
What's that?
He got enlisted is what I'm trying to say.
Well, he was drafted 15 years earlier, but because he got a deferment and war broke out, he was still eligible, and they needed doctors.
Yeah, so he went.
Yeah. He was wherever in Baghdad. I don't know where he went. He was in a hospital. I mean, he was working. You know,
that's got to be the best war to go to. It lasted like 7 days.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they had him quite a long time, but my point is that, you know, you do have that lingering thing. So that was a kind of crazy time. Well, I'm glad that you're doing that. Are you going to miss the lifeguarding?
Oh, yeah. Like, I wish I could work this upcoming summer, but I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Even weekends, you couldn't probably swing it. Yeah, you got to get permission. Don't mess around. They don't. Because, you know, the thing is, if you work on a beach and something happens, you get hurt.
Yeah.
The your commander, I know if I was your commander and then you got hurt, and they would put me on, you know, grill me. Yeah. Like, catch more. What are you letting them do that stuff? A lot of, they do that with the state troopers. They used to have people who would become a state trooper and they could work side jobs, but they didn't allow them to do things for like the first year because they didn't want them to get hurt or jammed up or, you know, illegal things that could happen. So, well, you know, you'll be going. So that's great. Sean, you want to ask him about the anything that you wanted to continue on with?
So you know you don't know where you're going, but you know what kind of boat you're on, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where you want that boat to go? It's like Mediterranean, somewhere nice, Japan. You don't have to be like
Mediterranean would be nice. I almost went to Japan. Almost got a ship at Japan, but they got taken up right before I got there.
I know. Yeah, I know someone who's in the Navy in Japan now. It looks awesome. He snowboards all the time.
Damn.
Yeah, it'd be sick. South America would be sick. Nice and warm all the time.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And then you could the ship you're going on. I interrupt you. The ship you're going on. What's its mission? What's its job description?
It's a
transport
amphibious landing ship. It transports Marines. So basically, there are like two classes of surface ships. There's crudes and there's amphib. Crudes is like cruisers and destroyers. They got the big guns, all the missiles. Everyone wants to be on those.
Oh, okay.
And there's amphib, which no one wants to be on, which is LHD, LHA, LSD, LPD. It's their amphibious ships. They carry Marines.
Okay.
I actually wanted to be amphib, even though no one else wants that, because since those ships have Marines, they have way nicer gyms.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think where the Navy's gonna maybe, if things heat up, is in the South China Sea, and
what's if China does anything? Right now we're worried about Ukraine.
Yeah, you got the Crimea, but I think where the stuff's gonna happen is gonna be in China in the future. You know, for his perspective. Well, that's good.
So before China does all that, you're trying to get yoked, huh?
Yeah.
So, Mike, when you take the test, like to be in the Navy, do you have to be able to swim? Do they have a swim test?
Yeah, there are two swim quals you have to be able to pass: third class Navy swim and second class.
And what does it entail?
It's really easy. You jump off a diving board, swim 50 meters, and then float for 5 minutes on your back or face down. Most people can't do it.
Really? Well, yeah, I believe that. That's probably like just because you fall off a ship, you know?
Yeah, a lot of them like can't swim at all, and the ones that can swim have trouble with the 5 minute float.
And if you don't pass that, they you're done. They wash out.
You have 4 years to pass it. You could try as many times as you want, but yeah, if you can't pass it before you commission, then yeah, you're gone.
They don't let you wear floaties.
No.
That's good though. They give you like 4 years to get to develop water confidence so you can float. Also, the salt water is so much like the ocean's actually way more buoyant than a pool.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I was just wondering what you know if they have a water test, and you know what's unique to the Navy. So, what's unique to the Navy as requirements than any other branch? Do you know? Is there? Any, I mean, you have to swim test. I don't think you need that in anything. I don't know if they even need it for the Marines or Army. You know. So, do you ever think about the Air Force? Because a lot of people talk about the Air Force. They love the Air Force.
The Chair Force.
The Chair Force.
Yeah, I never really thought about them. I don't know. Never really interested me.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was in school, they were recruiting us when I was in school in Philly, and the Air Force was really recruiting heavy, and they talk about how you know you're an officer and you play golf and it's like the best you know level of military. I don't know how true that was, but I'm like you. I would have loved to be in the Coast Guard. That's why I'm in the auxiliary now. I love it. I'd love to be on a ship. You know, I sail. It's something about being out there. I don't know if you ever have you ever been on a ship for a long time or out in the ocean, like maybe a 2-3-4 day cruise, something like that.
I was on a destroyer for 2 weeks.
Okay,
last summer.
Okay, how did you? It's a unique situation. You know,
yeah.
I sailed from multiple times from a place called Grenada to a place called St. Thomas, and it's under 500 miles, but it's at night. You know, 24 hours a day, it takes 2 to 3 days. It's an amazing thing when you're out there at night and you're sailing. It's not a destroyer for sure. It's a 62-foot catamaran, but it's still it's hard to explain to people when you see the sky and the water and I don't know. I get it. It's a spiritual. It's something that you love. I think you and I would probably be in the same. We're in the same kind of ilk. You know, we'd probably be in the boat with Captain Cook or you know. Christopher Columbus. We'd be doing something. We'd be going exploring somewhere, you know, Shackleton or whatever those guys. What were you going to say, Sean? I see you have a question.
How was living on the boat with the for 2 weeks? Like the living space quarters. Do you get a room or is it like?
They were bad.
They were bad.
There's like negative space on a Navy ship.
Yeah, because everything is about like maintaining weight and buoyancy and everything.
Yeah.
So like, do you live bunk beds or?
They're stacked three high and there's like 12 to a room. It's like a small room, too. And there's a bathroom in there with a shower and everything and lockers.
Yeah, they're going to sub these guys in there. Space is at a premium.
When you go in as an officer, do your living spaces change?
Not at first, but after a few years, they get a lot better. Okay.
And what about seasickness? What's the story with that? Did you get seasick?
Like, the boats are, like, so big, you barely even feel it. Like, at night, when I was laying down, you could kind of feel the ship rocking a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, it's almost nice, I feel like. Rocking baby, almost.
It's nice. And you know, even though the catamaran, when we're beating into the wind, it's rough. You can't even, you can't even walk. You have to, we get strapped in, you know, we strap ourselves in and you go to lay down. And a couple times I got thrown out of bed, you know, you that's how violent it is, but that don't get me sick. It's, but usually what gets you sick is when you feel it, your inner ear feels the motion, but you can't see the ocean. So, but you don't have any problems with seasickness or do you?
No, not really.
Good. Yeah. You'll get, you know, how big is the ship you're going on? How big? You say they're big, but how big is your ship?
It's about the same size as a destroyer. So I don't know. I'm not sure what that would be in feet.
I wonder if that's 800. I'm trying to think what a destroyer, 1,000, maybe 1,200. They're pretty long. They're narrow and long.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. So that's why they're fast. And those things move, man. They go like 20, 25.
They go 30 knots easy.
That's crazy. That's fast.
They're very maneuverable, too.
Yeah, and it's just wetting surface, so they're thin and long. Yeah, yeah. Well, but on a big ocean, you know, you might get a little rock and rolling. You might get a little seasick. I wonder if they give any kind of seasick pills. So, how was the food on the ship? How was the food?
Honestly, it was all right. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, 3 square meals a day.
Yeah, I mean, it's like different every day, so you don't know what to expect.
That sounds pretty. They do the laundry for you.
No, you do that yourself.
Cashman, do you know the old? I saw this old TV show, but the Navy gets the gravy and the Army gets the beans.
What is that
from? Do you know? Was it the Hogan's Heroes?
No, I don't know that one. I have to think about that one. But I could tell you, I think it's always been the idea from World War II that you got a better living standard on a ship than you do in a foxhole. Yeah. You know, and I think the ultimate guys were the Air Force guys. You know, you living in England, bombing Germany, you know, you're sitting there having tea and everything. I mean, listen, those guys, the B-17 bombers, they lost a lot of people. The estimated 500,000 men and women, but mostly men who died in World War II, about 300,000 of them were air people. You know, you had 10 people on a bomber. They go down, that's 10 guys dead, and they lost a lot. But they would be sitting there having tea and crumpets and dinner, sleeping in a warm bed. And then, you know, next day they do a sortie over Germany. But they're back that day if they make it. You know, guys.
If they make it.
If they make it, yeah.
Did you see the new Super A-10 Warthog, Henneke?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. It looks like a cross between like a F-16 and an A-10 Warthog. It looks sick. It looks like it's from the future.
Well, one of our Seaside Speech Patrol. Well, when I worked there, it was John Boyd and Junie Boyd, and there was another Boyd. His name was Joseph Boyd, and he was a fighter pilot. And in World War II.
So he flew.
I don't know where he flew. That's a good question.
Yeah, well, kind of, they had biplanes in World War II, right?
And No. That was World War I. They had some. They didn't have jets, but they had some fast planes. I wasn't prepared, but there's all kinds of different planes.
Oh, yeah.
But the Mustang, yeah, they had some really fast planes. Some of our planes were more maneuverable. The Germans were maybe faster. All kinds of things. But you had big-time dogfights and stuff during World War One. They were the biplanes. But towards the end, they were rockets. You know, Germans had rockets. The what were the ones they were shooting over in England? They were unmanned rockets.
V2s,
yeah.
It was World War II.
Yeah, oh yeah. So that towards the end, they had the rocket technology. It was starting. Now, I did a lot of studying with B-17 bombers. That's an amazing thing. That whole thing with the bombers and the strategic how they did it.
The flying fortress.
Yeah, they had different philosophies back in those days. They wanted to have them real high. They would go 30,000 feet, and 30,000 feet. You could freeze to death up there, and you need oxygen. You'd be dead without oxygen. So they had electric heated clothes that they would put on, plug in. They had oxygen, and they were high up. And they thought the higher you are, the better you are from the standpoint of not getting banged up. And then another general came in, and they decided to do low bombing because it was more accurate. And, of course, it was more dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing. It's pretty interesting. But the Navy was probably one of the first tactical offensive moves in World War II was Doolittle's raid off of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, yeah.
They were B-25s. They were single two engines, and they went up as close as they could to Japan and dropped bombs on Japan, and then landed in China. That's a great that's a great story because that was a joint effort between them, the Navy and Air Force got together. It's a great story how it all came about because nobody ever did that before. So that's really good. So you're going to miss you're Michigan lifeguarding. Any other stories you can think about lifeguarding? Nothing else? You don't remember any other, no big rescues or you remember? I'm trying to think what you were involved in. I don't know.
I will say just us three are probably the first people to show up to work every day in the summer. Besides Cap, obviously.
Yeah.
I beat Cap one time.
Oh yeah, no, beating Cap's fun because he's like shocked that you're there. It's like, what's up?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been there. You know, it's funny because, Mike, you know, I've been there for a long time, since 77. I've seen a lot of kids come and go. And I talk to you guys, and I try to, you know, get involved as much as I can. But you've always been quiet. And it sometimes I don't get to, you know anybody. They could be there 2-3 years, and, you know, I don't know. I don't see them. I don't, you know, talk to them. But I always talk to Rob, and, you know, Rob always fills me in who's good and who's bad. And, you know, and I'm not bullshitting, he always talked very highly of you and, you know, lovingly, but respectfully. I think that's really the thing. And you're a smart kid too. And we like that. I don't mind like you, Sean, and don't want to get all mushy here, but you know, you challenge me, which is good. You know, you come up with ideas, albeit some of them are not good.
I'm trying.
You're trying. But that, I really like that. And you're ready. You're an individual who is seizing the day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You are. I mean, you know, no matter what you say. How old are you now, Mike?
22.
Yeah. So you're seizing the day. You're going into this adventure. It could be dangerous. It could be very good. But at the end, you're going to be way better off. And there's not a lot of people who do that. A lot of people are scared. I call it the ostrich syndrome. They stick their head in the sand. They don't want to do anything. You know, their ass is sticking up. So we like that kind of guys, and that's why we like on our beach patrol when we have people who are a little cutting edge, a little hard to handle. Because I like that. And
after 5 years, do you want a lifeguard when you?
I'm
teach?
Thinking about it seriously.
I mean, yeah, like you have the 3 months.
Thinking about pulling a John Boylan.
It's not a bad move.
I hope my knees aren't too messed up by then.
Nah, you don't have to run that much.
Why, from lifting or from running?
From everything.
Yeah.
When you get out, your plan is to teach, like a high school, college, you know. Teach history? Is that what you want to do?
I'm also thinking about maybe I could get into like some research or something.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Researching what?
Anything. Just out of university. I think I got to get a PhD for that, but
yeah.
Well, I know with history, you could go into law, you could go into, you know, the things like CIA, FBI. I mean, that kind of degree is a very good degree. It you could probably do anything you want. Research, I mean, you could research historical events. I mean, there's no, sky's the limit what you could do. That's a nice thing about when you get into that level of education. You could do it. But that's a great deal, though. You could teach, and then in the summer, you could do your sabbatical and on the beach. Your research. You could do your research on the beach. It keeps you, once you get that sand between the toes, it's hard to get out of there. Oh, that's good. Well, I'm really proud. I mean, it's good. I feel bad. I'm happy for you going away. But I'm also, you know, I'm say disappointed, but sad that we're not going to have you on the beach. So, you know, maybe you're probably going to be stationed somewhere. You may not be able to come back for a while. Hopefully you'll be.
We'll see you when you get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've had a lot of people go into the military, came back. And we've had a lot of people go into a lot of different things and came back. So, you know. So anything else you want to say, Mike? We appreciate you coming. Yeah. Mm. And I like the idea that if anybody's listening, I think the military is a great way to go. And yeah, I think you illustrated the benefits of it and how you could get, you know, income and you could get paid for your school, which is a great thing. And you're going to learn a lot. And you could learn while you're in the Navy, you could learn too. There's a lot of opportunities to.
Yeah, you could develop so many skills that are like marketable in the workforce.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like general like leadership.
Yeah, managing.
More specific stuff too. Like if you're a welder in the Navy and you come out, like you have that skill forever.
Mm-hmm. Do they ask you about that, Mike, when you're in there? Like do you want to learn a skill or do they try to push you in that or and they give you a position on a ship. You know, here's your ship and where but do they also then say here's your opportunities or here's what we want or
so a lot of like the specialized skill work is like for the enlisted guys. For officers, it's a lot of like admin management type of stuff.
Yes, yes. Okay. So they groom
is still marketable on a resume, just being like a project manager or something. But
oh, that's huge. What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Did you think about? I know you need a 4-year degree to become a pilot. Did you think about becoming a Navy pilot?
Oh, I never thought about pilot. Doesn't really interest me.
Really?
Nah.
Why, you don't like going fast?
Nah.
Yeah.
Now, most pilots get stuck on helicopters anyway. Very few people get to be jet pilots.
Yeah, but still flying. I think that's something I would have liked.
It sounds, but you got to be a certain individual.
Yeah, until you get stuck in the middle of the ocean because your plane went down.
Yeah, my cousin was a pilot on. He was in he went to Annapolis, and his roommate was killed during training, and then he was on. I guess he was on an aircraft carrier, and I remember the story. He couldn't do it after a while. He just couldn't handle it. Just lost his cool. Yeah. You know, guys would crash. I mean, you definitely have to be a certain kind of individual. You got to be real smart. You got to be real sharp, but you also can't. You got to relax and calm down because there's inevitably what's going to happen is something's going to happen. The lights are going to go out. The engine's going to blow up. I mean, there's something you're going to have a bad day. And if you make one bobble, one mistake, you could be dead. And when you realize that, you know, it's just like lifeguarding when we do.
It takes such a hone in on like while going. I don't know how fast a plane goes, like 500 miles per hour.
Yeah. And Mike makes a good point. You know, if you don't have the talent, you don't have talent. But you got to also want it. But I think what you're doing is really great, and I think it's a great opportunity. You could learn a lot, and you're smart enough to learn. The administrative and supervisional skills that you're going to get are really important in life. And it doesn't matter if you manage a section of a ship or a ship, or you manage in a corporate environment. You come out, when people see on a resume a military history.
Oh, it matters.
Big time. Because right off the bat, rarely do you have somebody who has discipline problems. They're well groomed, and they're organized, and they understand that there's a bigger. A bigger thing than just themselves, mm-hmm. And that makes a big thing. So you'll always have doors open for you. So I think it's a great thing. I think anybody out there who's listening to us should do it. So, and that's good. Well, I wish you all luck, Mike.
Thanks.
You know, and I feel bad we're not going to see you again. But
yeah, do you know how we do? We give you the rundown on how we end the shows. Do you know?
No.
We are terrible at this.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to play a little music. And let me get that fired. What we do is how do we close the beach, Mike, when we close the beach? You know, remember how we...
What does Cap say when we close
the beach? Stay out, stay alive, and God bless America.
Right. Hey. So that we're gonna do that. So I'm going to just get some music up here. So let's put it on, Mike, here. We're going to get some music going here.
We got to montage that when they have all the guests saying that.
What's that?
Like get a montage going of all the guests saying stay out and stay alive.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
So let me just talk a little bit. We just want to say, listen, everybody, thank you for watching. A couple things here. This is Lifeguards Who Have Duty with Dr. Michael Catchmar. So for people on our Spotify and podcast, it's drcatchmar@icloud.com. Really encourage you to go to our Facebook or Rumble so you can see the pictures and things that we post here. So it's drcatchmar@icloud.com. That's our email. Shoot us an email if you want to talk to us.
Follow us on Instagram at lg.association.
Yes. Let me just do something here because we definitely... Hang on 1 second here. We have this here.
Comments.
We have comments here to show up on time. Oh, that's... listen to the foot doctor about it. Right? And we also have... the other place to get a hold of us is on my webpage, which is jerseyshorefootandlegcenter.com. That's jerseyshorefootandlegcenter.com. That's a webpage. You can land on there. We're going to have product on there soon. And if you need to get a hold of us there. And the other place is, look at us, is lg.association.
On Instagram.
On Instagram. That's another great place to fall into. Down the road, we're going to have call-ins. I just want to throw the phone number out. You guys could have it on your speed dial. And that's the number to get a hold of us is 732-237-4949. We'll announce when we're going to have call-ins. So, what am I doing here? I shouldn't want that there. So that's it, right?
Yeah.
Anything else? So let's lifeguards off duty. So let's go back to Mike. Mike, so listen, if you could send us out, we'd appreciate it. And we'll start the music here again. Hang on. So
you know it.
So thank you for coming. You're always welcome. Good luck with everything in your life. God bless you. And thank you for serving the country. And what do you want to tell us?
Stay out and stay alive.
Hey. Hey, thank you, everyone. We'll see you guys next week, Tuesday. Thank you very much.